Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women, now in her 11th year. I still pinch myself when I say that out loud. I'm also the best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing company, InspiredLivingPublishing.com, which is dedicated to giving visionary female entrepreneurs, coaches, and health practitioners a voice and a high-profile media and publishing platform to share their wisdom, enhance their expert status, and bring their brand and message out of the shadows. I'm so excited because on March 14th, I'll be releasing our sixth sacred anthology, Midlife Transformation. And I invite you to check it out at midlifetransformationbook.com. If you've been following me a while, then you know that all of my brands, including the show, are dedicated to inspiring women to live their best lives, to believe in the power of possibility, and to know that within them is the courage and strength that they need to move through anything that life brings their way. And we're going to be talking about just that today, about sometimes life brings us things that can bring us to our knees. Suzanne Falter, my guest today, writes and speaks about how she found her way back to true and lasting happiness after her daughter Teal's death from a medically unexplainable cardiac arrest back in 2012. To Suzanne, crisis is the critical catalyst for change, and embraced in the right spirit can become our most profound teacher. And in fact, Suzanne believes that crisis is the path to joy. So Suzanne is an author, speaker, and blogger who writes raw, moving essays about finding the lessons in life, especially around crisis, in novels about uncommon heroes who overcome the odds. She's also writing a memoir about the healing she experienced after the sudden death of her daughter, Teal. Suzanne also speaks to audiences about self-care, the gifts of crises, and her experience as a donor mom in the world of organ donation. Her online writing and videos can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Pinterest. She's the author of the book, Surrendering to Joy, as well as How Much Joy Can You Stand? And Living Your Joy. She's also the author of several novels, Doing the Box Step, Transformed San Francisco, and Transformed Paris, which she co-wrote with Jack Harvey. Her work has been featured in publications like the New York Times, Self Magazine, Women's Day, More, and been featured on more than 100 radio and TV shows. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you very much, Linda. Hi, I appreciate being here.
Well, when we first connected, it was just your style of writing. I had mentioned to you I had followed you way back when in different work that you were doing at the time. And I just was led to reach out and connect with you because of the depth of your writing. But also, this show is really about bringing women on who have gone through different things. And your experience and how you've, I don't want to say moved through it, but how you've processed it to come out the other side is one of the things I really want to talk about, because death and loss touch every one of us. And I can't imagine what it's like to lose a child. So I've heard you call your daughter's sudden death an unexpected gift. So let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, where to begin? It's always kind of a question because it's been a hugely profound experience to me, and really, before I can even answer the question, I want to say about Teal was that she was a very ebullient, joyful, and highly compassionate person. I mean, she was just one of those special people who really isn't particularly ambitious, is never in a hurry, was never driven by her own agenda. She was truly a heart-based person. And if she never made a lot of money, it was fine. If she never achieved a great, you know, huge amount of work, it was fine. And if she was content in this moment and the people around her were content in this moment, that's really what mattered. And it was very different for me at the time of her, the end of her life, because by the time she died, I was a very, very driven internet marketing consultant. And I really thought that my job was to make as much money as possible, get out there and be known by as many people as possible. And I had a really me-oriented agenda. And her death put me right on my butt in a really huge way, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And what came out of that was an understanding that I am actually just another simple person on this planet. I don't have to be a great star. I don't have to work a big agenda. And then actually, it was all about trying to compensate and become somebody who I didn't believe I was at the time. I was going to use all that accomplishment to make up for what I thought was sadly lacking in my own psyche. Now I understand that I'm just fine the way I am, whether I'm a big star or not, that I have everything I need. You know, during the course of her, the years following her death, I actively grieved her death for 2 years. And during that time, I just lived on savings and, you know, a bit of money that did come in. And I lived very, very, very simply. And it was like, you know, as the Jewish people would say, it was a great mitzvah, because what I got from that was a complete dialing back of all the props I thought I needed. I found myself just living in this incredibly connected, simple way. And Linda, the thing that was shocking was how satisfying it was. You know, I was grieving, especially the second year. The first year, I was just in shock, and I really could barely grok what had happened. The second year, her death really became real to me. And, you know, I was spending a lot of time feeling very, very sad indeed, obviously. But I was also beginning to appreciate what was around me. And by the third year after her death, I really kind of fell in love with life again. And I began to work again. You know, I was given the opportunity to write these novels, which I've now written two of them. And I'm working on the third, Transform Las Vegas. And that work, that writing just totally put me back into my essence. Jack Harvey knew my writing when I had published my first novel back in 1990, which he had never forgotten and really loved. And that's how he came to me with this fiction project. So, you know, this is a big subject for me, how her life turned out to be, the end of her life turned out to be a great blessing to me. Because I learned so much about letting go. And now, you know, I've consistently been writing essays and blogs for quite a while now. Ever since the week after her death, I've written, probably more than 300 of them. And the messages that come through again and again and again in these essays are the quest for self-care and letting go as part of this healing process, this recovery from grief and loss and crisis.
And that's so important, is that you recognize that you had to take the time to process it all. But I love what you refer to that I've read. It's called exquisite self-care. So is that mm-hmm. what you're talking about? And what is your definition for our listeners? What is your definition of exquisite self-care?
Right. Good. So exquisite self-care, to me, means the self-care that our soul is craving very deeply. It isn't just this, you know, let's get a few massages, let's go for some power walks every day, let's not eat a lot of sugar. I mean, yes, those things are good, and they are definitely self-care. and we have to do them. But there's a deeper level under that self-care, which is really honoring who we are and refusing to do work that is not a fit, defining our values and living into our values more fully, surrounding ourselves with uplifting people, being open and willing to receive spiritual messages and guidance when it shows up and act on it. That's exquisite self-care.
Allowing ourselves soul craving.
Yeah, allowing ourselves to have a little time off and not push so hard. That was probably one of my biggest lessons because I am a total type A. I was pushing, 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 achieve, 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 and I'm still writing two books at the same time. But the difference is if I write 600 words, great, that's a good day. If it feels complete, my soul tells me that writing is complete for the day, good. I'm going to put it away and I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to beat myself up for not meeting some arbitrary deadline or some arbitrary amount that I laid on myself.
And that's the part. It's about, like, to me, that's authentic living, right? You're living from the inside out instead of the world's version of what your life should look like or what the definition of success.
Exactly.
I went through that in my 40s with my other business. And when I hit, you know, a brick wall, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it was just like, you can only push yourself so far. And it was like you said, it was more of, it was outside validation. I was trying to fill something within me. But it wasn't until I went inward and started to create my life from this place that you just described. You're right. We might not look at everyone else. We might not match everyone else's description of success, but we've discovered what it is for us.
Yeah, and the great thing is, I don't care. I just don't care what other people think anymore. You know, it used to be so important when I was younger. And, you know, maybe this is part of the grace of aging. I just have come to the point where I say, great, I'm going to wear my mismatched workout clothes because I like them. Or I'm going to have my, you know, not have a particular big business agenda that I've got to wave around. I mean, people have come to me from my former industry and said, what are you living on? How are you surviving? And when I tell them, you know, I got hired to write a series of novels or I am an investor, you know, which is the case, they're just sort of shocked. And I'm a little shocked too. And that's another piece of this, because really what my soul was craving was writing. My soul was not craving doing more work in my former industry. My soul was saying, you are a writer and you have to write and you started out writing and now it's time to return to writing. And you know, Linda, I'll tell you, there was a part of me that knew a long time ago that this would happen, that the marketing business would end, the marketing business would end and that the writing would return, and it would return in a really powerful way, and it would become my work for the rest of my life. And I knew that while I was doing the marketing work, but I ignored it because I couldn't see how it would be profitable. You know, I was totally fixed on getting that book, you know?
I think we've all been caught up in that. You're not alone, Suzanne, and I want to talk about that more when we come back from our break. I'm here with Suzanne Falter of SuzanneFalter.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ladies, your story has the power to transform lives. Four-time best-selling boutique publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, is dedicated to sharing women's stories of hope, love, and transformation with the intention to inspire and empower their readers to believe in the power of possibility. Share your story in an upcoming print or Kindle project. Visit inspiredlivingpublishing.com today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Hi, you're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. With me today is Suzanne Falter. And right before the break, Suzanne was sharing about how she just came to a point in her life that she wanted to define happiness and success in on her own terms. And like you said, Suzanne, right before we crossed over to break, was you get to this point in your life, this age, I'm going to be 55, where it matters less and less what other people think. And it matters on, for me, for myself, on how I feel. How mm-hmm. I feel in my soul, how I feel in regard to my family. Those are my two priorities. Is mm-hmm. I want to talk about for a moment your books, because when were those joy books written, the ones that I had mentioned? Were they written after Teal's passing?
Some yes, some no. Surrendering to Joy is the collection of the essays I wrote in the first year following her death.
Okay.
And that reestablished me as an essayist, and they were very popular essays on Facebook. Some of them were shared hundreds and hundreds of times, and they were read by many people. And what those essays did was that they set me free in terms of understanding the gift of all this crisis. They also felt very much channeled or spiritually driven.
Yeah,
would be maybe a better way to say it. I was writing those essays to understand what had come to pass in my life and understand what I was being asked to give up, to define my self-care for myself, to really begin to pick apart the lessons that were available to me in those moments. Because the fact of the matter is, I have had a huge amount of lesson delivery, you know, room service from God, basically saying, here, this is what you need to work on next, here, 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 and here. And so I started to write essays as a result of all that, all of which have been posted to my blog at SuzanneFalter.com. But there's a nice collection where I kind of pulled them together, some of the best ones, in Surrendering to Joy. How much joy can you stand and live in your joy? Were both published in 2000 and 2003 by a major publisher who I had a book deal with at the time. And those books were, not surprisingly, about what was important to me at a different phase of my life, which was about achieving your dreams, living the life of your dreams. The full title of How Much Joy Can You Stand is How to Push Through Your Fear and Create the Life You've Always Wanted. And that was very much where I was then. I was motivated by doing and by action and by not holding back and by moving ahead and overcoming the demons in my mind. And How Much Joy Can You Stand was actually a really popular book at the time, you know, though that was many years ago now, 17 years ago. I still sell copies of it. It's amazing to me. You know, people buy the audiobook or they pick up the paperback or the ebook. And that book has been... It's been a foundational piece of my work, my life's work.
I had mentioned to you when we met that my girlfriend, who's been working side by side with me since, 2009, she mentioned, when I told her you were going to be on the show, the first thing she said is, oh, my God, I love that book. And so you're saying it was published that long ago, and it's still in people's energy and mindset, because when people know truth, And so when you birth a book that is, you know, from that energy, I think it just has a life of its own.
You know what was funny about that book, and thank you for sharing that story with me, just, hey, when we're writers, we're up in our garret alone, and we never know if our words really land on people, so it's always great to get the feedback. What was really cool about How Much Joy Can You Stand in particular was that I actually sat down at the time to write a newsletter for people who were creative moonlighters. This was back when, you know, before electronic newsletters. It was the day of paper newsletters. It was like 1994. And I sat down to write this newsletter, and it turned into a book. And I just sat at my computer day after day for like 3 weeks, and I channeled this little book. And I really felt like I was just, it was just pouring through me in this very, very organic, guided way. And at the end of it, I knew I had something really valuable and important that would be read by a lot of people. But then it took me 3 more years and many, many, many rejections from major publishers to find a small press to pick it up. Then the small press picked it up, and they immediately got a Book of the Month Club deal featuring the book as the featured book. And that was, like, amazing. It was, you know, a Book of the Month Club that was very focused on sort of New Agey books, right?
Yeah.
So then that deal, I was able to parlay into a book deal with one of the major publishers who had originally rejected the book. And that was really important for me, because I really felt like I was honoring the vision of the book, and I was putting it in the hands of people who would get it out there to a lot more people. And that was exciting. And the book was read by a lot of people, and it continues to be read by people, which just blows my mind. I mean,
I love it. And I just love the titles too. And me and my brands are all about joy, happiness, self-love. So your exquisite self-care, that topic really resonates with me, because the majority of my following are a woman, and we struggle with this. And we also struggle with labeling and judging ourselves, and comparison, which you were talking about earlier, about how in the other business world it was like, I must achieve, I must cross off everything on my to-do list, or, and if you didn't, it we took it on as we have less value. And I know that was my truth for a long time.
Yep. So it is.
So what are some of the things that you do for your own exquisite self-care?
Good question. Well, I start every day by meditating. And meditation to me, you know, it may sound like the power walk or the green smoothie, but it's more profound than that. Because there really is this subtle energy body that lives below the surface of our consciousness that really, really, really likes meditation. And that's the little voice that whispers to you, that advises you, that guides you, that comes in at just the right moment and says, no, don't go down that street, or no, yes, take this opportunity. That is the part of ourself that knows all wisdom and speaks all things. So I think a lot of my self-care is really oriented towards finding my way back to guiding, feeding, nurturing that little voice. So it begins with some yoga breathing and some mudras and a little bit of meditation and prayer. And I don't spend a lot of time on this, 15 or 20 minutes. And that's a very, very big piece of my self-care. Another big piece of my self-care has been to find love. And I found my true love 3 years ago. We just got married in October.
Oh.
And yeah. And I'm a lesbian, and I left my 25-year marriage to come out and start all over again in a recreated life. This was 2 years before Teal's death. And it took me until 3 years ago to find her and to be at the place where I could really embrace a great and healthy relationship. And I'll tell you something, that is a huge act of self-care, to be with the right person. You know, it sounds so fundamental, and it's so easy to get wrong, and we're like looking. But what happened for me was that I didn't start looking until I had gotten to a point in my healing. It had been pretty much 5 years since Teal's death. And I waited for the first 2 years I was alone through that whole period, and it would have been so easy to rush out and just cling to somebody to help me get through this. And I didn't, and I really consciously waited, and I got very clear on taking care of myself. I think another piece of exquisite self-care for me has been to put the focus back on myself and to be checking in and seeing how this feels or how that feels. You know, what is this okay? Is that okay? Is everything going to be fine? Do I feel okay? Do I feel okay in this moment? You know?
Yeah.
If I don't, I have to go fix it. I have to change whatever does not feel okay. I got to use that internal guidance system.
And it's about being self-aware. If you don't slow down enough and you're always doing, which is how I spent my 30s and most of my 40s, you can't hear the voice that's always trying to guide us to our next right step, right? Whether it's a love and all this. So I don't know about you. I was curious. When do you get up for your meditation? Are you an early bird?
Am I an early bird? No, I am not an early bird. I am not. I mean, I can be. I'll tell you, one of my acts of self-care these days has been letting myself sleep as long as I need to, because one of my issues has been that I don't sleep particularly well, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So sometimes it has to be a practical thing, like loading an app that keeps the blue light out of my phone if I'm going to read the news on my phone late at night. But then maybe another piece of self-care is like, no, don't read that news tonight. It's going to be upsetting, or it's going to be chaotic, or it's going to be disturbing. I have to make decisions in the hours before I go to sleep that really affect how well I sleep.
Yeah, I found that for myself, too. I'm the opposite of you. I am an early bird, so my audience knows I'm up. Normally, it's between 3 and 3:15 for the last 2.5 years. My body clock changed, so that's why I asked that question, because I find that the veil is so thin in those first few hours. And I just believe for myself that since I started honoring my body clock, and it may change again. Who knows if my body changes. Since I started going with it and not fighting it and spending that time anywhere, sometimes, like you said, 15 minutes, it could be up to 40, depends on the day and what's going on in my life. You know, I have my little rituals that I do, but I have found more peace in the last 2.5 years, inner peace, grounded in my truth. My projects flow with ease and grace. And I truly believe it's because I tap in and listen and take action on the guidance I receive.
Yeah,
and I want to talk.
There's a nice quality of flow to what you're describing.
That's exactly it.
Key. This is the nurturing of the soul. You know, giving the soul what she craves, and she craves flow, guided flow.
I want to talk about that more when we come back, Suzanne, because it's so important for women who are on the go to take this time. So I'll be back in a moment, everyone, with Suzanne Falter of SuzanneFalter.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Isn't it time for you to listen to your own internal compass, your intuition, rather than listening to all those around you? When you learn how to navigate using your intuition, you'll discover how to hear your soul's whispers so you live a life of purpose, joy, and abundance. Soulwise Living mentor Laura Clark provides women with the empowering tools and support to help them tame their inner critic, calm their emotions, and ground themselves so they can hear, trust, and act upon their inner guidance. If you're ready to awaken your intuition, visit soulwiseliving.com to schedule a complimentary sacred soul chat, read Laura's inspiring blog posts, and discover an array of free supportive resources.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversation. This is Linda Joy, and with me today is Suzanne Falter. And I love what you just said, Suzanne. Right before the break, you said that spending that time in the morning, doesn't matter what the hour is about tapping in, and it's about being in the flow. And that is what it feels like. In fact, that's one of my daily mantras. Everything flows with ease. Everything flows with ease and grace. And that's that energy that I want to live within, right?
Yep.
I don't want pushing. Yep. I don't want striving. I share that mantra with my clients all the time who feel like they have to do and wonder how I get so much done. They're like, you run five brands and you still take Fridays off and you still take vacations and you still play with your granddaughter. And I said, because I create my life from the inside out of exactly what you said a moment ago. What gives you joy? What feels good? You tune in, you listen, and then you make your decisions based on that instead of allowing the world to make your decisions based on their expectation, its expectations.
And I would add something to that, which is that sometimes life surprises you. I was surprised to find out I could live on a little tiny amount of money and that it would all flow in ease and grace for me to have an abundant, comfortable life while that was happening. You know, I thought there was a whole part of my mind that said, no, you can't, you will not be okay if you don't have, you know, X amount of money. And I thought I'd lose my health insurance, and I thought I'd lose this, and I thought I'd lose that. And in fact, what happened was a friend invited me to come live in her house and just keep her company and cook a few meals for her, which is one of my passions, is cooking. I got to live in this beautiful house for a year and a half, absolutely rent-free, looking out the window every morning at a serene pond with wild waterfowl landing on it and beautiful trees all around me. It was completely beautiful and serene and perfect and simple. It wasn't elaborate. And I got to take walks in the park right next door every day when my soul was asking me to go back to nature. I found an incredible yoga studio in the little town and a wonderful pool, an outdoor pool that cost $4 to swim in it every time. I mean, these are not expensive things, and they filled my heart with so much ease that when I met my love, it was easy to be grounded and available and happy and joyful and healing, really recovering from this huge loss. You know, that's why I think we have to embrace crisis as our valuable teacher, because crisis leads us back to understand what we're all about. Crisis puts us on our can, so we have to start to go in and ask ourselves, wait a minute, what do I need right now? And all the extra BS is stripped away. And what we're left with is the essential stuff that is who we are. It's the ash left in the bottom of the crucible that is very, very nurturing and very, very good for our personal soil, you know? And from that, we grow again, and we redevelop, and we emerge as people with consciousness.
It's been my life experience. I mean, we all go through different things, like you said, that peel those darn layers off, and sometimes they're harsh things, like the loss of your child, where there's no gentleness in it. It just pulls off the shell. And then there's other times I feel like we're constantly going through crises, minor and major, And sometimes the peeling of the shell is gentler, and other times, like what you went through, it's harsh. But underneath, I can only describe my experience, so I don't want to speak for you, but for me, when I was at a low point in my life, probably 30, I was dealing with some really deep childhood wounds that had surfaced. When you're in the midst of it, and in case anyone's listening, when you're in the midst of it, you do believe you're never going to be able to make it out. You will never, you believe you won't find happiness. You believe that your life will never be the same because you feel so hurt, damaged, wounded, whatever the word or label is you're giving. But Suzanne, I don't know about you, but now I can look back on every one of those moments where my shell was ripped off and I thought I couldn't live through it. I look back now and say, thank you for that gift. Thank you for that gift. Because it brought me closer to the truth of who I am. And it was profound for me. It was profound. So we don't like to go through the crises, especially loss. But we can make it through. We can find joy. And your story is a beautiful reflection of that. Joy and happiness are still within reach, even in the midst of pain. Now, I want to talk more about, I know this, and I want to talk to give you some space to talk about this, because you write about in your blog and stuff about your connection to your daughter in the afterlife.
Yes.
And, you know, for some who are listening, I personally believe that they are always with us, always around us. I teach my grandson, who just lost his mom this past summer when he was 16 years old. I said, she's with you. Talk to her, love her, connect with her, listen for her signs. Tell me what it means for you, your new relationship with Teal.
Well, okay, so I need to say that Teal has been extremely busy in the afterlife. She's on all the time. And, you know, it was her desire to be a healer before she died. She was, in fact, the night she collapsed from this cardiac arrest, she was about to start classes at City College in San Francisco in a quirky little curriculum she had put together that was going to give her what she felt was the training to become a healer. And she was a highly spiritually connected person who had epilepsy, and in her epilepsy, she felt very connected to the other side. So the minute she collapsed, I knew that this was going to shift and evolve. And within a few days, I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt her energy around me. And it was very specific and very, very palpably real. And I started to talk to her. And she guided me through the end of her life. She was on life support, excuse me, for 6 days because she had extensive brain damage. So she wasn't able to survive her cardiac arrest, even though the EMTs had revived her heart. She never regained consciousness. So in that time, she started to communicate with me about exactly how she wanted the end of her life to go. So that was the beginning of what has become a very deep and profound relationship on the other side. And, you know, one thing I'm really clear on is we may always have those energies around us, but it isn't always easy to hear them. And we have to allow them to come to us in their own time. And we have to allow ourselves to open up to that in our own time. I do my meditation practice partly because I think it keeps me calm enough to be open. Because one thing I've really come to understand is when we're in stress or anxiety or worry or fear or, you know, negative energy, we can't connect. It's like there's too much static. But it's when we're relaxed and open, maybe lying awake in the early moments of the day, and a vision will come through. You know, this is what I'm writing about in the memoir, but I've almost finished because I've had a lot of visions of Teal. And she's been very instructive in this path of coming back to healing for me and understanding my right place in the world and my right work in the world. I was just, and sometimes, you know, those signs show up in the funniest of ways. I was just writing this morning in a memoir about an experience where, you know, one of the healings for me has been to come back to my awareness of my need to contribute to society and help other people who might need help. And I was listening to a broadcast on the radio about young African-American girls who were being criminalized in high schools. And I was listening to this, and I was feeling very, very moved by it. And I called into the radio show, and I spoke to the author, and I thought, oh, I've got to do something about this. And I went into this little cafe just after that, and Wagon Wheel was playing. And it was a song that Teal used to play all the time. She was a musician, and she used to perform that song all the time. It was one of her favorite songs. And I was like, huh, that's a Teal song. I wonder, you know, is that like a little sign from Teal? So then I sit down with my computer in this cafe, and I open up the book page, the book sales page for the book connected to this interview I just listened to about the criminalization of these girls in high school. And I start reading this page, and all of a sudden, I watch my computer as a new web page opens. Completely didn't start this myself. A new web page opens, and I watch it fill in, and it's a web page for the bakery that was where my daughter hung out, that was her favorite place where I took her for her last birthday right before she died.
Wow. I love that stuff, and I just love that stuff because they're always with us. But if you weren't open and present in that moment, you would have just said, what the heck's going on with my computer? What's this technical glitch?
Oh, no. But listen, it was so specifically, it was not just, you know, any old web page. It was that web page, Tartine, the great bakery in San Francisco. It was her home turf. And you know, she bought the bakery's cookbook, and she learned how to make their best desserts. And it was her cause, you know. And I realized, she was telling me, yes, honor your feelings, do something, go out and participate in the world, be of service to people. Yes, that is the correct path. So what I want to say is that these energies, these spirits around us, they are encouraging us to live into our soul purpose. They're encouraging us to become the people that we want to be, that we were born to be, to fulfill that life pattern, that beautiful and most basic level of fulfillment.
It's powerful. It's I call it my angelic team, right? You know, those that I love that have passed over, they're my team. They're there to love and support us and guide us. We're the ones that, as you said, just have to be open and allow it to come. So
yeah, and isn't that the lesson for life?
It is the lesson for life. And we'll be back in a moment with Suzanne Falter of SuzanneFalter.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if you could live the life of your dreams, the life that you came here to live? What if you were able to honor your gifts and passions, turn them into a heart-centered business, and make a big difference in the world, all while living authentically and doing the work you love? It is possible. Patricia Young, president and founder of InnerProsperityAcademy.com, knows that awakening to your own truth, aligning with your life purpose, and having your own business is one of the most exciting and courageous things you will ever do in your life. Patricia helps spiritual, sensitive, and growth-oriented women start, grow, or transition into a business they love so they can go from working for a paycheck to working for a mission. For supportive resources, programs, and more to help you do just that, visit InnerProsperityAcademy.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to Inspired Conversations. I'm Linda Joy, your host, and with me today is Suzanne Falter. And we were just talking about the connection to our loved ones after they pass, and that they're always with us. They're always guiding us. They want us to live our soul's purpose, our best lives. And Suzanne, like you, I really believe that. And that's why my grandson has been able to stay in peace. I told him, she's your biggest cheerleader right now. She is there guiding and supporting you. Just stay, keep your heart open in the pain. Don't close down, or you won't, it will be harder to hear her, to feel her.
Yeah.
So I keep telling them, stay in, you know, because you lose your mother, mom, at a young age, you can close down. And so my message to him, because he's an intuitive and an empath and a sensitive, stay open, baby, stay open. Mm-hmm. Don't get allow anger and regret and resentment to close your heart, because you're going to see the signs. And he does. He sees it and feels her and hears her and the songs that come and the feathers and all the little things. Perfume is a big one for him.
Yes, you know, I've loved reading about the afterlife. I've read quite a lot about it. And, you know, since I had another friend who lost a husband who smoked pot. That was just his thing. And this was many, many years ago. And every once in a while in her house, she'd smell like a little bit of marijuana and be like, what? Where's that coming from? It certainly wasn't her. And then she realized he was around her from the afterlife.
Now, that's a unique, yes, that's very specific, and there's no rationale for that.
No, there's no rationale for that, and that is a very particular smell, you know. It doesn't smell like many other things, right?
No, and those are the signs that, you know, give us, those are some of the things that give me peace, right? You know, knowing that my loved ones are there and behind me and overseeing me and guiding me. To me, that's a, that's a beautiful and peaceful peaceful knowing to have.
Yes. And what is really fun about it is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference, really, in the relationship, except that the suffering is gone. When I connect to Teal, and I'm often connected to her while I've been driving, you know, driving puts me in a little bit of an alpha state, and I did a lot of driving while I was grieving, and it just relaxed me, and I felt connected to her, and I would turn on my iPod on shuffle on the sound system in the car, and I had about 2,000 songs on there, and I felt that sometimes she was sort of DJing the songs based on what I was talking to her about. There were 10 or 12 recordings of her actually singing, because she was a singer. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of recordings of her, but I had some. And she would pop in every once in a while, and we'd engage in something. And, you know, then she'd want to make a point, and one of her songs would start playing on the stereo. And it was just, I thought it was really specific and true and guided. And, you know, the truth is, we don't really know. Maybe it was her, maybe it wasn't. But you can't say it wasn't with definitive knowledge.
Oh, no.
You can't.
No. When I was younger, I didn't realize how intuitive and open I was, so I'd go, well, that's not logical, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. But,
like, what a hell of an imagination you have. Well, 55 years later, now I have no doubt.
Yeah, I think we have to get to a certain age sometime to let go enough to accept these things for what they are.
Yeah, and the peace that it brings is powerful. So I want to ask you, through all the grief, through everything you've gone through, how do you now define your personal recipe for happiness?
Well, it's what I said. It's this blend of exquisite self-care. It's getting back to my personal, you know, exactly what you said, recipe. It's meditation and peace, finding peace in every day. It's removing the pressure from myself. So if I don't get everything done on the to-do list, I can forgive myself. And let me tell you, Linda, that's a practice. I'm still working on that, probably will be for some time, because I can be very quick to judge myself for not getting it all done. But I also understand that if I don't get it all done, it's no big deal. Even if some deadline that was really important doesn't get met, it's life will go on. I really learned this. I really learned that first of all, life goes on no matter what. And secondly, the death isn't such a terrible thing after all. That we're actually quite connected from the other side. And, you know, I don't have the fear of death that I used to have. It's, you know, you hear this about people who've lost children, because we all feel, of course, we'll be reunited with our children in the afterlife. But I just don't feel so much fear about death. So for me, happiness has been surrounding myself with the conditions to be able to really feed and nurture my soul, which includes being with my soulmate and doing work that is really aligned and staying in flow with my work. But it also includes allowing myself to take risks when I want and not being afraid about the stuff that used to be so scary, because really none of it matters, you know, none of it matters at all.
No.
That's the gift of crisis.
It's so true. It prioritizes what's truly important instead of what your ego wants to convince you is important.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said a moment ago about, you know, when you, that, you know, losing someone doesn't affect you as, in a way that it used to, because now you have this life experience. I said that to Tyler, too, my grandson. I said, you know, buddy, she is always with you. You might not be able to physically hug her and go to the store with her and do those things in the physical form, but she's always with you. All you have to do is talk to her. She's with you when you get your first car. She's with you when you're going through the driving lessons. Just keep talking to her, right? And
yeah.
It's something I just keep stressing with him, because I want him to know that she is there. It's just, I don't want him to go through the rest of his life feeling like he can't communicate with her.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's given him so much peace. And then the signs that have been coming since her passing in July have just validated, you know, his belief system. So, it's a beautiful gift to give a child that's lost a parent, too.
You know, one of the things I've enjoyed doing in this period of my life, when I have a question that's hard to answer, you know, should I take this opportunity? Should I spend that money? Should I, you know, even when I was dating, should I date this person? I would ask my guides, bless it or block it. Show me a sign that this or that is a good thing or a bad thing. And sure enough, they'd come rolling in. And it was such confirmation again and again that, you know, I was on the right track. For instance, when I connected with my friend who so graciously agreed to have me stay with her for a year and a half, I had all these nudges to do that. And I was kind of avoiding them because I was living somewhere else at the time and I was paying a fair amount of rent and I was realizing I needed to downsize and stop spending that money. But I was a little stuck about getting going. And when you're grieving, you know, it's hard to move forward with anything, really. So I finally said, okay, bless it or block it. And like an hour later, she called me. And she said, I've been thinking about you. Where are you staying? Why, do you want to come stay with me?
Well, I love that.
That was pretty obvious. It was like, okay, I'll take it.
And I love your mantra, your intention of bless it or block it, because sometimes we think that when something doesn't come to us, that, which is what we're holding on to with our ego, right? That something was taken from us. I always look at it as the opposite. Oh, thank you. Something better for me must be in the works, because I look at it the way you do.
Yes. It's if not this, then something better.
Yes.
And honestly, you know, this is an old trick. It's been around for a long time. One of my very good friends, John, shared this with me, and I have embraced it eagerly and really put it to use. And that's also part of what we were talking about earlier, Linda, this concept of being in divine flow. I wanted to say a little more about that because it's a powerful concept, and it is definitely part of this sort of recipe.
Yeah, we have about another 30 to 45 seconds, but go ahead, Suzanne.
Oh,
yeah, I just don't know what.
Maybe the best thing to do is to share my guide to exquisite self-care, if you wouldn't mind.
No, please.
Because that's a way for people to figure out their own recipe, and it's at suzannefalter.com/guide-exquisite-self-care.
Oh, I love that. Like I said, I love anything about exquisite self-care. So say that URL one more time for me.
suzannefalter.com/guide-exquisite-self-care.
And I encourage everyone, please head to that link, grab that exquisite self-care guide, and start going inward. It changed my life many years ago. You can hear what it's done for Suzanne. And Suzanne, I just want to say, today this conversation could have went on for 2 hours. So first off, thank you. Thank you for being here, for sharing your truth, for just doing the work that you're doing in the world. Because your words are touching lives.
Thank you very much. Mm. It was great to speak to you today. I really, really appreciated the opportunity.
And I enjoyed our conversation. I'm sure my listeners did too. So I want to thank you, everyone, for joining me and Suzanne for our Inspired Conversations. Listen in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern for more sacred conversations with heart-centered visionary women just like Suzanne, who are here to share their wisdom to support you in living your best life. For even more inspiration, claim your free subscription to Aspire Magazine, which includes over 40 transformational gifts. And you can do that at subscribe2aspire.com. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.